Let's read some scripture together from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this word as it comes to us this day, and ask your blessing upon our hearing of it and our conversation this morning. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts and minds to understand. And in understanding, may we turn to you, and in turning to you, may we find hope for our very living, that we find healing for our very lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, welcome everybody to a Hot Metal Bridge version of podcasting. And this is something we like to do every now and then that we call the Converse Sermon. And our Converse Sermon this morning is all about church, which is where you are. You're in a church right now. And why do church is the question that we're discussing this week, and maybe for a couple more. We'll see how this goes, and then we'll evaluate after that. So to provoke our thinking, I love that word choice in the scripture there, that we gather to provoke one another to love and good deeds. As Mike and I were discussing how to begin this conversation, I came across this little video online through the New York Times, and it was entitled, intriguingly, Drive In Jesus. And Mike posted the video online on Friday, so maybe, anybody here actually see that? Anybody watch the Drive In Jesus video? Mike did, and Scott, all right, great. See, somebody pays attention to our Facebook feed. And anyways, if you didn't, since that's most of you, let me describe the Drive-In Jesus. So this is in Daytona Beach, and as you might imagine, this is a church that's located in a former drive-in. It is the Drive-In Christian Church, and it is exactly as advertised. You drive up, and you get your little bulletin and your little communion kit handed to you through the car window, and then you park by one of the old it used to be a drive-in theater. You park by one of the old drive-in, like, you know, posts where they used to hang the thing. And you tune your radio in to 88.3 to tune in for worship. And then there's the building, what used to be the old drive-in buildings there. And the pastor comes out and kind of preaches up there, like, I don't know, a little bit like he's the Pope at the Vatican. He's kind of like, and he's got like a headphone thing on. And it comes through the car radio, and there's music, you know, so you hear the music through the car radio, and then there's a sermon, and then they always have communion, and there's even an offering with a guy going around in a golf cart, you know, to all the car windows, and then there's like honks for like amens, and like when you agree with something. And as part of his sermon, he was referencing the Jetsons, and so like the Jetson music was coming through the radio, like so.
I think my favorite part was the golf cart offering.
Yeah,
did you like that? It made me wonder, like, do they have like a car wash, like for baptisms?
Yeah,
like you just drive your car,
drive through, psh, open up your windows, stick your head out. Yeah. So I watched that, and Mike, what else did you think, other than the pondering of the baptism? Do you have some other thoughts on? Your first impressions as you watched that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seemed kind of alienating. Like people sitting alone by themselves in cars, like completely separated from each other. It seemed like kind of a impoverished spiritual experience.
Oh, does okay. That? I just, yeah. All right, impoverished. Yeah.
Trademark, 2017, and even like yeah. The communion, like I mean, they had like the little cup, and then the communion bread was literally the size of like a. Smaller than a chiclet.
It was so tiny.
Smaller than a chiclet.
Yeah.
Of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just seemed like metaphorically there was something being communicated by the tininess of the bread.
Another interesting thing, it was that most people were in the cars alone. Like it was individuals. Like there were some where it was like, you know, you could see there was a couple people in the car together. I will say there was some diversity, though. There was a Hillary bumper sticker, and then there was a guy with a Confederate flag. So
yeah, he was attending diverse. Worship with his cat.
Yes,
his cat was in the.
Yeah, you could bring your. I mean, you could bring your animals. That was easier to do. Anything else? Reflections on that?
I mean, like big reflections, or just more jokes about driving church.
No, well, I mean, I'll tell what I thought like as I watched it was you know, the sense of like what was missing was like the idea of like the community connections, like how we like belong to each other. How can we like participate in life together? Like communion, which they do celebrate every week, is about like union with, and it's hard enough to do that here. It's hard enough to do that here in person, and it's like seems to me like really hard to do like in your car. You drive in, you get the thing, and then you drive away.
Well, it's like it had all of or like most or all of the familiar elements of a worship service, right? I mean, you had music, you had a sermon, there was a prayer, there was communion and an offering, and like a lot of those things that feel like what. Churches, but it just felt somehow kind of disconnected or empty. And so we were kind of thinking as we were talking about it, and it was lining up totally with what we wanted to talk about at church, because what we're struggling with is talking about, well, what is church? And so like seeing this drive-in church, it was like, is this church? Like it has got, if you'd gone through like a checklist, you could tick off all the boxes of like the elements of what feels like going to church, but it feels like something's missing. And because I'm a huge nerd, I was thinking about the Reformation, who do when you watch a 10-minute documentary about drive-in church.
Who doesn't?
And I was thinking about the struggle that the Protestant Reformation, the leaders of that, had in trying to identify what was and wasn't church, because up to that point, church was what the Pope told you it was. So it was very easy. Whatever the Roman Catholic Church told you was needed for church or was church, that's what it was. But as they broke away and formed their own new form of church, it raised all these questions of like, well, what now is church? They're experimenting with different forms, and what do they want to continue on from the tradition they came from, and what do they want to let go of? And there's different answers to that question, and one of the ones that has stuck in the Presbyterian Church is three things. You have to have preaching of the word. You have to have...
Check.
Got that.
Drive-in church, check.
Check.
Yep.
Administration of the sacraments.
Check. Chiclet communion.
Chiclet communion. Car wash baptism. I'm just guessing. And then the third one sounds terrible, and sometimes it was. It's called exercising discipline, which sounds like a little punitive. And sometimes it was. Sometimes it really was about singling people out who were not behaving in according
up,
to the expectations of what it meant to be a Lutheran or a Calvinist or whatever. And that was in its worst incarnations. That's what discipline looked like. But in its best incarnations, what it really meant was having a shared sense of life together, having a shared sense of what it means to be a Christian, to have practices and beliefs and a life together that not everyone necessarily always embodies, but everyone kind of agrees like this is something that we want to work towards. And that to me was kind of like what, if I had to pick those three things, what was like maybe missing from drive-in church when I watched the movie was that sense of like a shared community life. And that seemed to me kind of like what was missing from that.
And now to be fair to the drive-in Christian church, we did a little more research. We went on their website and noted that they did offer an indoor option. You could go inside. We noted also they had they helped at a feeding ministry like the table. It looked like once a month. They seemed very inclusive. All were welcome to receive communion or denomination. Disciple of Christ is affirming of LGBT issues. And if you looked at the video, the attendance was pretty good. Yeah. But it was still, I think, a good conversation starter for questions like, what is church? Why do we do it? And in some ways, we can be like our own drive-in church here. We can just drive in, get what we need, and drive out and not interact with anybody. And I wondered, why are these people compelled to drive in their cars to a former movie theater only to stay in their cars to be a part of something they're calling church, was supposed to be about community? So hopefully those are provoking questions to get us thinking here. Now, a little bit about church attendance in America. 40% of Americans say they go to church weekly. But as it turns out, less than 20% are actually in church weekly. So, you know, what you say and what you do don't always match up. And in other words, more than 80% of Americans are finding, like, you know, other more fulfilling things to do on their weekends. And regular church attenders nowadays are considered those that come to church once every 4 to 6 weeks. That's your regular church attenders. But maybe this is not just a recent development. That scripture I just read, I don't know if you picked up what the author of Hebrews said. The author said, let us not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing.
That's some serious side eye.
So
from the author
apparently this has been like an issue like from the get-go. So what we want to do for funsies, right, is to solicit your ideas on why not. What's keeping people or from church, or what keeps you from coming to church sometimes? What are the things? And you won't be able to read my writing, but I'm gonna write these things down anyways. So more Brian. Okay.
Number one, three things. Thing number one, not accepting everybody, turning away those
okay.
who are different than you.
Lack of acceptance.
The LGBT community. Number two, not giving all a chance to be a part of the community. A lot of the Catholic churches and older churches allow just the elderly, it seems.
Lack of participation. And what's your third one?
And the third one is not enough diversity. And like not enough people who are younger go to churches because I don't think it's a good thing to do.
Okay, lack of diversity.
And also maybe the church not having the timing for people to go. Not everybody works 9 to 5.
Okay. Lack of opportunity. A lot of lack here. Lack of... Oh, no, that's good. That's good. Lack of opportunity. All right, let's somebody else.
Wait, can you write not a hip thing to do?
Not hip thing.
I want to zero in on that
like
quote
that,
from Brian.
Is that what he said? Not a hip thing. Not a hip. I'm just going to leave it at not a hip thing. Yeah. All right. Yes, Dennis?
Relativism.
How relative are we relative? Are we being relative to folks where they are and their needs? Oh, that's not what you meant. What did you mean? Oh.
Reduces any expectation that there are any standards or reasons to do anything.
Okay. All equal. No expectations. I also think mine's a good point, though, too. My take on relativism. Yours is a good point, but mine's also. Are we being relevant? If we're not relevant, we're not connecting. And then if there's no expectations, all things are equal, why go? Why bother? Yes. Oh, practical reasons. I don't have a car. I can't go to drive-in church. They do have an indoor option.
They do allow motorcycles
as well. I don't want to keep bashing on the indoor church. Kitty? They don't buy which notion?
The notion of person, God, spy in the sky.
Okay, God is dead.
Yeah, the notion of God as he.
Oh, God as he, yeah. As he, she personified, okay? Intellectual problems with it. Yes?
Sometimes families feel that they have to make difficult choices spending time together. Family
kind of seems tricky. Ooh, yeah, time crunch. Choices. What else, MJ?
Because you can always get a dose of church sermon via podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you can get...
Shut it down. get back to church.
The internet can get all the church I need. What? Yes, Donna? Too many options. Non-commitment.
And also anger at God.
Oh, anger at God. Yeah. I should go over to this side. Wait, bring back the what?
Bring back the blue laws.
Yes, Kelda. Way retreated. Just
like, for instance, when my mom would go to the Mormon church, I would go on an occasion to kind of just appease her, and I kind of felt like I didn't belong there, especially as a deaf person, because they don't hire anybody to work or volunteer on Sundays, so they'd rather not accept you than go a little bit
okay.
Straight from their beliefs.
Sense of not being welcome. Shane? Too early. Bonnie, I don't get you, Joanne.
People's belief in their own unworthiness.
Oh, people not feeling worthy.
Yeah, like in this community, like the old thing you would hear because it's such a Catholic community was, "Oh, if I walk in that church, the building would fall down."
So right. Yeah. I can't go to church. I'm too much of a sinner.
Yeah.
Jillian.
People
would rather sleep. Sleep. Derek?
Thanks. Social dynamics. I mean,
yeah.
Churches are groups of people, and there are cliques and different things, and some people get really tired of that and just leave.
Yeah, social dynamics. Ben?
Well, for me personally, for the next month, it'll be travel. And I've also heard in response to some invitations, I don't feel like I'm right with God right now, so I have to wait until I fix that relationship first.
Wait to get right. Like anybody else over here? Lauren?
I think a lot of churches are confused about what kind of business they're in.
Ooh.
What's their identity and purpose?
Okay. The church confusion? Who are we? Dylan?
First one, I think a lot of people struggle with the hierarchical nature of church structure.
Okay.
And the other one is...
Yeah.
Structure.
Yeah, the bishop. I'm just going to put up bishop.
The other thing is
I know what that means.
Really like brunch.
What's that?
People really like brunch.
People like brunch. Yeah. Yeah. Autumn?
I noticed there's an increase of social anxiety since social media has been around.
Yeah.
We are really struggling as a culture to know how to be with people, and you have to kind of do that here.
Yeah. Yeah. Social anxiety. Lana?
I think that for me sometimes it can be feeling like coming from a background that's more black and white, feeling like if I can't check off every single box, do I actually belong here?
Okay.
It becomes a crisis of identity after a while where it's like if I go, then I pretend something.
Dogma issues.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Weird
yeah.
Thing.
Am I believing all the right things and able to work out here? Roger.
And also, I got another one.
Oh, hold on, Brian. Hold on. Okay. We got lots of hands. This is a popular question. Roger. Interesting. So social skills and sense of being right and wrong. And Jimmy? Laziness. There we go. Let's not put it all on the church. Jan?
I think part of the problem is assuming that church means Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Church Sunday assumption. I won't shorten that. In the back there, go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people have issues with their ministering. A lot of people I know from Methodist Church that have problems with women and leadership positions.
Oh, so some what are we gonna call those? Leadership issues, biblical issues. Issues, pastor issues.
Not here though. No one has issues with
the
ministers.
No, no. All right, I wanna move us. I wanna move us on. So, okay, real quick, Maggie.
I feel like nowadays we only do stuff where we know that we're gonna get something back.
Okay. Expectations.
Yeah.
Unmet expectations.
Wait, Scott's hands have been up so high.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I missed you, Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
This goes with bishops, but some church denominations continue to declare whole parts of the population to be incompatible. The word actually in the Book of Discipline of the Methodist Church.
Incompatibility issues.
Issues.
Lots of issues. And Tom, you get last word. Oh, yeah. See, that's why we're doing this. So, yeah.
What do you say, 2 hours, spending 2 hours being a spectator at a charity?
In a chair. Like, just okay. not active. All right, that's great. Mike, do you have any reflections on that?
Well, I was thinking this weekend about this, and something that kind of resonates maybe with what Jan was saying about Sunday mornings. Because as Jeff and I were like reading these statistics, we were like, oh, this kind of resonates with some of the challenges that we feel like as pastors in trying to encourage community and connection between Hot Metal folks and God and Hot Metal folks and each other on Sundays when like church attendance patterns like have changed. And I was thinking about trying to think about the extent to which Hot Metal really, as our specific community, fits into that larger pattern. And one of the things I was thinking about was earlier this year, like one of the things I'm responsible for is recruiting folks for the Sunday meal ministry. So there's like different cooks volunteering every Sunday, and there's tons of people helping to clean up and do the dishes and stuff. And there's a lot of people plugged into that part of our ministry. But there was a period where I was having trouble getting enough people for those things, and I was feeling a little frustrated. And then one Sunday during church, during the benediction, I was like looking around the room at all of you, and I realized, I was like, just about every person that I'm looking at in this room is committed to not just being present on Sundays, but also to some other aspect of the mission of our church, whether it's the homeless ministry or the table or the children's ministry or serving on a committee or doing ministry at the presbytery level with the anti-racism work. And I was just really struck by like the high level of participation of our church, which I don't think most churches experience. And so it got me thinking about the tension between worship and mission. Because I feel like one of the changes that's happening in church, and Hot Metal has been kind of at the forefront of that in the last 15 years, is kind of rethinking what church is. And part of that has been saying church is not just showing up to a service on Sunday. Like, doing church is a lot more than that. It's about being engaged with the mission of God in the world. And so I was starting to think about, that's something that we've promoted, and it worked. this is a community of people who like really believe and have put their time into the belief that church is a lot more than just showing up to worship on Sunday. And so maybe that's a good thing.
Heech. That's what we'd say in Chiapas. Heech.
Heech?
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed. I'm going to read a little quote from Bonhoeffer's Life Together. I'm also noting, Mike, that it's almost noon. And maybe we have 2 weeks worth of material here.
We do.
Yeah. So this, maybe I'll read this, a brief little reflections on this, and then we can save some of this other stuff.
All right.
Does that sound good? Part two. You'll have to come back to church. Well, I want to ask, why do you do church? Why are you here this morning? This is the question. Other question.
We're trying to get you to come back. It's suspense.
But it's like a cliffhanger. Why do we do this? I don't know. But here's a little interesting something from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his classic book called Life Together, where he's reflecting on the idea of church and Christian community. And this is birthed out of his own experience in trying to have a community of people living together in intentionality, kind of his own seminary type experience. And here's some of the things that he reflected on the idea of Christian community. And maybe you've heard this before, but he says, innumerable times, a whole Christian community has broken down because it had sprung from a wish dream. The serious Christian set down for the first time in a Christian community is likely to bring with them a very definite idea of what Christian life together should be and to try to realize it. But God's grace speedily shatters such dreams. Just as surely as God desires to lead us to a knowledge of genuine Christian fellowship, so surely must we be overwhelmed by a great disillusionment with others, with Christians in general, and if we are fortunate, with ourselves. Every human wish dream that is injected into the Christian community is a hindrance to genuine community and must be banished if genuine community is to survive. He who loves his dream of a community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial. And I think this is an interesting quote to reflect on, because we all come to church with certain expectations and hopes, and that's natural. I mean, we want certain things from our church community. And for better or for worse, we've been in like the church shopping age, right? You know, you kind of shop around for your church. You know, back in the day, there weren't as many options, and you didn't have many choices, and maybe you didn't have transportation. You just walked to the church that was down the street, and that was the church, and that was the community, and you were stuck with that pastor, and you were stuck with those people. End of story. But now, there are a lot of different options. And of course, you want something to fit you, and you feel comfortable in the worship, and the theology, and the location, and the service opportunities. But even once we found all we think we want in a church, I think we still harbor a certain level of expectation, you know, that sometimes if not met, like causes us to move on. We live in like that kind of wish dream community. And I think this happens in all aspects of life, right? Kind of the expectations we impose upon family, we impose upon communities, and we impose upon our church. Thoughts, Mike? have you had that experience for yourself?
Of unreasonable expectations.
The wish dream community?
The wish dream community, yeah. I mean, I think everyone, and pastors are not excluded from that experience of having their own private wish dreams about what church would be like. And I think that those of us who have felt a call to ministry and have gone through seminary and the whole rigmarole, I mean, you can't know what it's going to be like when you actually start doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I absolutely had expectations of what I thought was going to happen here in this space, like, and as a community, as we started. And to kind of bring this like full circle, Bonhoeffer does talk to pastors about their expectations.
Do tell.
Yes. And so he talks about this idea of always being thankful for whatever it is we have, whatever it is before us. Like thankfulness being like a key to community in all of its difficulties and all of its challenges. And he says, you know, if we do not give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship with which we've been placed, even where there is no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness, small faith in difficulty, if on the contrary, he's describing our community, no. If on the contrary, we only keep complaining to God that everything is so paltry and petty, so far from what we expected, then we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow according to the measure and riches which are there for us in Jesus Christ. And here it is, Mike. This applies in a special way to the complaints often heard from pastors and zealous members about their congregations. A pastor should never complain about his congregation, certainly never to other people, but also not to God. A congregation has not been entrusted to him or her, I will add, in order that they should become its accuser before God and men. When a person becomes alienated from a Christian community in which he has been placed and begins to raise complaints about it, they'd better examine themselves first to see whether the trouble is not due to their wish dream that should be shattered by God. And if this is the case, let him thank God for leading him into this predicament. So I think the beauty of this, Heech, is that like often we come with expectations as pastors and as leaders, and you guys come with expectations as people like seeking community. And you know, so often we misconnect on like all the expectations of what church is and what it should be. But I think there are like the, when we get past that, when we can go to the deeper places, and sort of you were alluding to that, Mike, and we were talking about some of the things we've tried to be, some of the things we've tried to do in our outreach and our mission to try to be the active body of Christ, that we can get past that to a deeper place with each other and with God. And maybe once we get past that, that's when like the real stuff begins to happen, which we'll talk about next week. Why do we do church?
It sounds like for that to happen, we have to provoke one another to good deeds of love.
Yes, circling back around to Hebrews chapter 10.
Button it up.
That is why we come, to provoke one another to good deeds and love in Jesus Christ. Any final things?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right.